Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of If You Know, You Know, a little treat from Lauryn Hill. Y'all, I could listen to that on freaking repeat all day long. I swear, I listen to it again and again and again. That is one of my most favorites. And speaking of favorite, I got two people on here that I love and admire from afar, from a close, from everything that I have been circling around, listening to, watching. I mean, just two incredible legends in this space. I'm going to pull you guys up here because I am super excited to have on. If this is your first time with us, I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is ever financial advice, and it's always important to do your own research. We do this show every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can also find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms. I want to take the moment to encourage everybody to share the room so we can get some more people in here. We got two legends in the house. Come on now, you already know people want to listen. Get them in here. We have none other than Logic and Ed Balloon. Welcome, welcome, y'all. How are you? So honored to have you on the show today. Ed, I'm going to start with you. How are you today?
I am at Harvard. I'm doing the stairs at the stadium here. And so, yeah, I'm back in Boston for a bit. And, you know, it's really nice out here. And I'm excited. I love that song that you're playing. So I was like jamming as you, you know, as you're playing that song. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And what's good, Logic?
What's up, Logic? How are you?
Yo, what's up, Belle? Thanks for this. Thanks for holding space for Mr. Balloon and myself. I'm blessed. I can't even complain. Yeah, I just crawled back in bed. I had a late night, and then I had an early meeting. But I'm here. I'm thriving. You know what I'm saying? We thriving.
Now. You're here. So what does that mean? Are we getting like a little bit of a hungover Logic here?
No,
I'm not hungover. Like, we just moved to LA and already is acting out. It's crazy.
No, I'm not hungover.
Seriously. I mean, we're all friends. You can just tell it to us how it is.
Like,
you know,
on
a level of 1 to 10.
Already acting out. It's crazy. He's not. I'm glad you're enjoying
He's
your
like
summer.
I'm in bed.
You know. You gotta get them 8 hours. No, I tend to stay up late. I'm a night owl, and then I just started playing Ghost of Tsushima on my PlayStation 5, and I look up, it's like 4 a.m. So, and I'm like, I got 5 hours before my next meeting. This isn't good. But yeah, no, it's love. It's love. It's I'm happy. I had my eyes closed before you opened the room, and so I can have the energy.
All right, look. Lauryn Hill always gives me that energy, so I had to kick it off with that. I'm glad, Ed, that you liked it. Hopefully, Logic, you did too. I always try to, you know, kick it off with one of my favorites. This show today is powered by Tao. I'm going to squeeze it in there. In case you missed it, a few weeks ago, we kicked off our partnership by launching Space Caps PoApp, where each week you get to collect a new space cap commemorating this week's special guest. Today we got two special for you. Today's PoApp is our 6th and 7th one, and for every 5 PoApps that you earn, you qualify to receive an airdrop of 420 Tau BRC20 tokens. And if you aren't familiar with the BRC20s, I completely highly recommend that you research and don't miss out. In a second, I'm going to be posting it up here or pinning it up to the top. What you want to do is make sure that you go to that particular post. You're following me, you're following Tao, you're following Ed, you're following Logic. Go up there, comment, retweet, and you're in. Our partnership with Tao is a really special one because it values, it's all of the values that I personally believe in: trust, access, opportunities, and attention. So wanted to make sure that this is your first time joining us, that you are aware of that, because if you know, then you know BRC20s, you know, built on Bitcoin is, in my personal opinion, one of the biggest things that we have in the space. So one of the most innovative things that we have in the space. So I want to make sure that everybody is fully aware of that. And with that, I want to dive in. Usually, usually on each and every week that we have this, we talk to, you know, the creators, the thought leaders are in the space, and we go back from like day one, right? Day one. Last week we had on Rebecca, before we had on Adam Tassett. We've had on some really cool people that I always want to pick the brain. So I'm going to start off with that. I'm going to start off with who you were like before digital art, before digital music, before NFTs, before Clubhouse, et cetera, because we really want to know you for like the person that you are way behind that screen. So Logic, let's kick it off with you.
Well, before digital art, I was 14 years old. So I've been doing digital art since forever. I got in it through gaming, a game called SOCOM, and I started designing signatures for forums, which was the way we used to communicate back in the day. And also before Clubhouse, I was on a thing called Ventrilo and TeamSpeak, which is a way that a bunch of tech nerds would use to communicate in voice channels when we play like Counter-Strike 1.6 and World of Warcraft and things of that nature. So I got my intro to designing that way, but I was always an artist. I used to do like make my cousins act in my films and movies, and I would edit the movies by stacking two VCRs on top of each other and pressing a stop record button to edit my little short films. And when I started designing, started with signatures, then I started freelancing, designing websites, for guilds like World of Warcraft. When I was 17, Blizzard offered me a design job in Irvine, California, but I decided to play. I played Division I basketball as well, so I decided to go to college basketball, and then I played that for a few years, and then I went to art school, got my degree in animation and film and video. But just with that experience, doing it so early, I had a lot of I learned a lot about coding and programming, working with developers. As I learned a little bit of C++ in high school, and then I was an animator, so I learned Flash, and through Flash I did ActionScript, and I quickly learned that I fucking hate coding. So I started working with a lot of developers, and I was flipping domains and turnkeying websites and selling web hosting and all type of stuff. So I was doing this and playing college basketball at the same time and high school and all that stuff. So by the time Web3 came around, I was like prepped and ready. I was like, hell yeah, I already understood this. So it was an easy breezy walk. And I'm glad the time came into where culture, Web3 gave a reason for people who do art from like a cultural lens to all of a sudden have interest in technology, which back then I was just like on a nerd island. Which was cool, but I think this gave more of a cultural resonance for the reason why we see all these different faces, and different sexualities and backgrounds and all this stuff, in this world of Web3. So that's me before this whole thing.
I love that you said, you know, I've been doing this since I was a kid, because I think that a lot of people recognize that. A lot of people in the Web3 space recognize that. I am a mom, and just yesterday I was talking to somebody else about the fact that I see it in my kids, you know, I see it in my kids that are like growing up. I have a third grader now, and they use things like digital signatures and avatars to do the simplest kind of things like homework. In order to even accomplish doing math homework today, they have to sign on to a particular app with, you know, their avatars that have been following them ever since kindergarten. So to me, it's like kids now, to your point, grow up with it, and it is ingrained in them, and it is second nature to them. And so I find it really ironic and really funny when people say, you know, digital art, digital fashion, digital whatever it's so far ahead in our future that why would we start adopting it now? And it's like, yo, look around. People have already been adopting it for years. The educational system has already been adopting it for years. We just don't call it, you know, blockchain, NFT, digital art, et cetera. So, man, I can go off on a rant on that, but I love that you say that. Today, you are the founder of Studio Logic, and I really want to get into that because, you know, that's led you to have your own, host your own IRL events and led you to really not just from the behind the scenes building from the dev perspective, etc., but also like front and center community building and having people represent a lot of different walks of life from the Web3 space. So really excited to get into that. Before that though, Ed, how about you? Tell us who you were before NFTs, before Clubhouse, before, you know, digital music, all that good stuff.
I was 9 and I was 9 years old, and I just was in Texas, I remember, and it was like the year where I've been listening to music forever, but like I was 9 years old and I was in Texas, and I just remember like having that radio on and just hearing all these cool songs, and like, I don't know, back in the day, like in Texas, you would just hear different songs from like North. And maybe it's still like that. Like in the South, you hear different music from like the North. And so I was hearing all these types of songs and all these things. And I was like, man, I really fell in love with that. And so when I got back to the East Coast, in Boston, I, you know, forced my like neighbors to join a music group with me. And we were like singing and stuff. So I was like actually my first, like how I like, started like getting into music. And from there, I started like doing choirs. I was in a choir, and you know, a lot. I realized that as a man, you go through puberty with your voice. So I had this, you know, high tenor Michael Jackson type of voice or whatever, and then it went from that to Barry White real quick, and I had to retrain myself. So I like started putting myself through music lessons and doing all that, all those things, and then from there, you know, going to college. And when I was in college, I actually had this whole different track because, you know, I grew up not so well off. And unfortunately, music isn't something that you're told, hey, you should do that to, you know, pay the bills. It's, hey, if you want to be poor forever, well, that's the goal for you. And so I was like, okay, let me go to college. And I studied philosophy. My goal was to go to law school and study philosophy and Chinese, actually. And it was either going to law school or trying to be in the UN. And I started like, I didn't really like what the UN was doing. And so I was like, let me just be a lawyer and deal with it and figure it out. But it was either my senior year or junior year. I met this guidance counselor or career specialist at the time. And we were talking about my resume because I was trying to get this grant to, you know, get this summer job at this law office. I was honestly, you know, being a little, what's the word? You know, I knew that I always wanted to do music. So I was, you know, I was actually trying to play the game or play the system. But anyway, I was trying to get this grant in, and I remember talking to the career specialist and we were going through my resume, the course that I was taking, and I took all my requirements when it came to like, you know, my philosophy courses and my Chinese courses and all those things. But I also just, you know, love to take art courses, and I took a lot of theater courses, and I took a lot of music courses. And she was like, hey, do you like art? And I was like, yeah, I love it. And she's like, have you ever thought about like, you know, doing something in the arts? And I was like, yeah, but they don't pay the bills, you know? But you know, it didn't take much for me to be persuaded to actually go for something that, you know, I loved. Because I think it was that same time I just realized that I was doing something only for reputation and not doing it for because I love to do it. And I have a lawyer, my sister's a lawyer, and she loves to do it. And I just saw myself like doing that to a disservice. You know, I'm not going to put myself 4 years through to do something I don't love. So I, you know, told my dad at graduation or after, because he's like, hey, what are you doing now? You know, you're going to be the pharmacist? Because he still wanted me to be a pharmacist, even though that wasn't even my track. And I was like, no, I'm actually going to be a musician. I want to do that. And he was like, you know, in his incredible Nigerian accent, why do you want to be poor for all your life? And that's, that's how they, it's like tough love in a way. He's like, it's, I mean, there's no tears. It's actually really comical. That's how me and my dad, we go back and forth with jokes. But if anything, that was it encouraged me to just go in. And so from there, I started to do like record, and I was always writing in my dorms. Like since 9, I was always writing music, and yeah, I would write songs for like people in the hood. I was writing like melodies for people. So it was something that I was like, okay, fine, I'm just gonna write my own music, and I was gonna find my own producers and things like that. And yeah, I went in, and I went on Facebook at the time when Facebook was popular, and I wanted to like find producers that were willing to work with me, because people weren't willing to work with me at the time because I had this weird voice, which was weird. Because I'm like, I'm about to pay you to like make a beat for me. How are you not gonna want to work with me? But anyway, they still were like, no, we don't. We're very picky. And I was like, okay. And so, but I did find somebody, and I found a recording studio, and it was who, and his name was Dave Chapman, who's actually my bandmate and business partner today. And I went in, and I was very nervous and scared, and I was like, man, I'm not sure if I should do this. This is my first time, And I, it's very cheesy, but it's one thing I do love is sometimes people do need validation, and I'm not saying you need it, but it is really good to have it. Sometimes, especially when you're like doubting yourself. And I was at the point when I was like kind of doubting myself, because I'm just this dude. Even though I'm making this, this huge move, and I feel like I'm confident, I do have this like internal, doubt there. And it's like, man, what happens? Like, I got everyone I telling me that I'm making a stupid move right now. All these things. And yeah, I met this, met Dave, and we started making music, and it turned to this whole thing of like, wow, like people were like saying, oh man, what are you doing? To like, wow, you are actually a really good musician. And from there, we started doing shows in Boston, and from Boston, decided to make the move to LA. And then we got hit with COVID, of course. But I guess even though COVID was like a really sad and bad time, there was also a little bit of beauty and hope there, because it led me to the Web3 space. And so, yeah, that is a little bit of my journey.
Yeah. Nice. And the rest is history. Absolutely. I want to see, drop it in the comments, if you also have the story that your parents told you or asked you, why are you choosing to be poor by being an artist or being a musician?
My dad's Nigerian, so he's going to give it to you very straight. It's like, what are you doing with your life? But, but yeah, that's what he's saying.
Oh man, I completely relate to that. Yeah, no, my parents to this day still don't understand why I quit my job to do Web3. They still don't understand what Web3 even is, or NFTs or any of that. So yeah, story of my life. I totally understand that. Ed, I'm surprised. So I have had the pleasure of seeing you perform live and in person, and never in a million years would I have guessed that you even paused for a second to do any self-doubt, or to think even for a second that you weren't like doing what you were supposed to do. Because I can tell you, front row watching you perform, it's like you are on another level. You are on another sphere of, you're not with us, you're somewhere else.
Whole nother reality.
Exactly, a whole nother reality. That's exactly right. And so it surprises me to even hear for a second that you would be like, yo, I'm not quite sure. Do you still experience that?
It's really crazy, because I a lot of times people are like, you transform, or you go through this whole thing, and people are like, it's really weird when they describe it, because they're like, they just see it. And I think if anything, the reason why I do this transformation or whatever is because performing, it's because first of all, I am always nervous when I perform. Always. I'm always nervous. It's just something it's just what it is. But secondly, the longest time it has always been, oh, are you good enough? and or you have these like voices in your head or whatever. And so, but when I go on that stage, I want to feel, my goal is to always feel like what I'm doing. And I tell people, I love telling stories, and I tell stories in my music when I'm singing and stuff, but I also want to tell the story with my body. And the last thing I want to do is have people, tell me anything or have voices in my head. And, you know, and I, or like get caught up in a space of like, there's only two people in the audience, you know, because as a musician, sometimes there's only one person in that audience. Or there's five, or there's 10,000, or there's, you know, and I don't ever want to get caught up in that. I want to make sure that I'm caught up in the moment and like telling the story. And like, I don't care if there's one person or 1,000 people. So yeah, like I'm really just focused on just making sure that I am telling the story. And yeah, but you know, I think there is this doubt or whatever, that it may be nervousness. Until that song starts or whatever, or like until like, you know, I'm on that stage and I'm like, okay, fuck that shit, and again, go, I'm getting it. But yeah, I do sometimes experience it. I would say not as much anymore, but I think sometimes I do have to like, or you feel like you have to prove yourself sometimes or whatever. Like I think a lot of times people didn't even know I was a performer or I could perform, and I'm like, okay. You know, and so you're given this opportunity and you're like, okay, well, I'm just gonna give me the stage and the microphone, and then and you do what you have to do, and sometimes I think I have to like let people know what I am about, but I do appreciate people that support me and do see it, because now I have supporters who are like, oh no, Ed is, you know, he does perform and he is a musician, don't count him out. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, Logic explained it perfectly. I mean, it's like you get possessed up there. I've personally seen it. I think it's amazing. And it's just a different it's just a different vibe. You and Latasha are one of my favorites to
see. I'm just free.
You're free. That's exactly right. No, I have a lot of admiration for that, because I think that, you know, on a lot of different levels, as a woman, as a person, you deal with a lot of imposter syndrome. I deal with a lot of imposter syndrome, just, you know, as a way of life. And so first of all, I have a lot of admiration for people who are willing to put themselves up on stage and do that. But also, I've personally seen you do that, and you take it to another level. So kudos, congrats, you know, all of the above. And I'm going to encourage the audience, if you haven't ever had the pleasure of doing so, get yourself to any of those NFT, Web3, IRL events, because, you know, a lot of people talk shit about the essence behind them, but not all of them are, not all of the events have that, you know, connotation that they aren't furthering the space. Some of them are truly furthering the space and getting you in front of people who are making waves and are impactful and are doing things that are different. So go out there and make sure that you participate in that. Logic, on that note, I really want to talk about Studio Logic, and also tell us about, you know, first of all, I want to ask you, do you ever deal with imposter syndrome? You're in so many different, you know, aspects, I would say, of the Web3 ecosystem. How does that ever impact you? Do you ever feel like, you know, maybe I don't belong? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Hell no. Nah. Not right now. Back then I did. I think I got a lot of that out the way. Shout out to the universe for, I guess, just my timeline of events. I grew up in Ferguson. A lot of the homies in here know that I'm from St. Louis, big St. Louis. And there's, using my language, you feel like a nigga in a place like that. And it took a lot to become the motherfucker I am now, to tug my own nuts. And the thing is, moving from a predominantly, you know, black neighborhood to a predominantly white neighborhood, and you see the abundant resources that a specific group has that your community doesn't have. Like, for example, we had like lacrosse and water polo, and I ain't never heard of none of this shit before I got there. And when you get exposed to these things and live in these spaces where you feel like a other,
not even just in that space, but if you enter, if you enter a high end a store and you got people looking at you weird, you feel like you stole something. Like, did I steal something? I feel like I stole something, and that's not a good place to be. And then also, like, you know, mentally, I found that, you know, I was in honors classes and things of that nature, and I was in tech, and I was an athlete, and I was in the, I had my hand in a lot of pots. But even living in an environment where people don't really, they have low expectations of you, or, and all of that stuff, where you start to second guess your placement. And one thing I found out is that no one knows anything really. People with abundant resources are still unhappy. And people who don't have resources tend to laugh at their own pain. And when you start to see these things, and you can't really lose. When it can't get worse than what it was, so you might as well bet on yourself, because you realize the people that got all the money and the resources don't know shit either. When I started navigating corporate America, when I got into advertising, I worked at some cool places like Havas and Leo Burnett. And but my first agency was a Black-owned agency. Shout out to the universe again. Where I got to see myself in success. And when I left the Black-owned agency to a general market, that's when the imposter syndrome kind of set on, where you learn that, you know, us turning in our presentations the day of was some PC time, even though we were making corporate dollars. we were still at the helm of being late as hell. And then when I got into a general market agency, I'm like, that shit didn't really fly over there. And that's when you start to, you know, kind of question your competency and if you're prepared for this world. And you start to realize you don't have financial literacy. You start to realize that you don't really understand how macro and microeconomics work. You start to realize that you don't understand the levels of luxury, like what sets luxury apart in regards to whether it's fashion or spaces. And it's wild, like, to just, you know, I brought a family member to Soho House one time, and he got imposter syndrome, and he had drove 4 hours from St. Louis to Chicago to visit. And hour into Soho, I turn around, he's nowhere to be found. He's halfway back to St. Louis because it was crippling imposter syndrome. That's fucked up. And I don't have time for that. I don't have time to be second guessing at this point in my career. If I fit, or if I don't, it's enough doors in this world for anybody to get in where they fit in. You just got to cross your T's and dot your I's and make the best version of yourself. You have to be your own worst critic to you know, smooth out them edges that you see fit. So just even, I got a peek behind the curtain very early from whether it was in, you know, moving from, you know, Ferguson to the Boondocks or entering corporate America. And one of those things that I got was when I was working at one of the agencies, I saw that they were doing something that was culturally, that wasn't, you know, PC, for the lack of better words. And I got to jump over the hurdles in regards to social hierarchy within the corporate, you know, ladder, giving me access to the CEOs and stuff like that, where I realized the people that were managing me then essentially did not hold any power. And then I start to see the club with the lights on, if you will. And when you start to see when you take the glitz and glamour off the club, you start to see the tears in the seats. You see that the the food on people's clothes, you know what I'm saying? You see the bad makeup, you see the whatever. And you start to see the space for just a structure in which is a box holding people with flashing lights and spending money on bottles. And I'm using this as a terrible analogy, but I hope y'all picking up what I'm putting down. So when in this space, this Web3 space, no, because everyone, it's all about packaging. And packaging, and that goes into titles, that goes into library of work, especially on something like Clubhouse when it's all launched, where people, you know, were based on what have you done, and what have you done got you a lot of screen time to speak. And if you are a person of color or a woman of color, you definitely weren't getting people would talk over you, women getting spoken over. But for some odd reason, and I already understood this, that my title, the creative director at Google, gave me some leeway to talk. It's like, he must know something. He must know something. So, you know, to take that low-hanging fruit, you got to capitalize on those things that are, you know, in front of you. So the imposter syndrome, I didn't have that in this space. It just doesn't benefit me. But I know we do go through these ebbs and flows of bear and bull markets, but we also have to take a step back. Like, I always like to operate as if to position myself as if the internet ceased to exist, could I still do what I'm doing? And I think a lot of artists or builders need to look at this space and not be their whole thing should not be contingent on the ups and downs of the market, because then right then and there, you put an expiration date on your, on whatever you are doing, and you're capping out your morale in all forms. So the way I approach this space is for longevity and to create this as if, how do I position this so regardless if people care about Web3 or not, that I can still do my thing. So, it's just the basis of the technology and understanding the technology. It's much more than pretty pictures. So, I gave a long-winded answer, I guess, but yeah, look, imposter syndrome is a natural thing. We all get it. I get notes of it, then I squash that shit quick. Because you got to get it how you live, and don't make perfect the enemy of good, and you know, yeah, do your thing.
Do your thing, 21. Do your
thing. And also, me and Ed have worked together too, because Ed is dope, and I just actually tweeted, because I never really promoted it or talked. I'm really terrible with this, but I know you asked me about Studio Logic, so I'll let you jump into that whenever you want, Bill. But I shared a video, the recap to Segoy, if anybody wants to check it out while we're having this conversation. And Ed killed it. He killed it. He was one of our performers. We had three performers, one being Ecot, who did a ballet number. And then Ed did the balloon thing. And then my homie Joey Perp. again, we operating at the intersection of art, culture, and technology.
So go ahead and pin it up here. I'd love to have that up here so everybody can check it out. And I definitely do want to know more about that event. But before that, I just want to stop for a second and tell you that I don't think you understand how inspirational that is for a lot of people. Truly. I have these conversations, you know, I've had the pleasure. We're coming up on the 100th episode of doing these shows. If you know, you know, every single week we have new people. It's such an honor to be up here and like have these deep dive conversations with people that, you know, if I do my job right, then I'm gone into your soul. Like, you know, when I get tears, it makes me happy kind of a thing, because I really want to peel back and know who you are. And I can tell you right now that out of all of the conversations that I've had with a lot of people, it is a common theme amongst so many people that have checked the boxes on all sorts of aspects on their life, and yet they still struggle with that imposter syndrome. They still struggle with being their own cheerleader. And as a mom, I see it every day, you know, with just kids. As a Latina, I see it with myself, et cetera. So I just want to take a moment, a long-ass moment, to tell you, both of you, Logic especially, you, the words that you speak really do have a lot of truth in them, and they really do have a lot of inspiration to them. And I hope that that you continue to be so open and to be, you know, so transparent and to be so uplifting, because I think that as a minority and in the space of Web3 and just as a minority in life, we really need other people who pick us up as individuals and also as a community. So, you know,
I also want to say, can I add something to that?
Of course.
I also want to add that, I think, it is okay to get the doubt. Like, I think it's human. It happens. Like, I, there is to me, I'm like, yeah, it happens. But what is the problem is when you give it power. And that is where you don't, like, that's what you should not do, right? Like, you can experience, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen or whatever, but you should still do it anyway, right? Like, that was what I was going through. Or, like, I'm sure every artist goes through that. It's like, oh, should I do this or should I not do it? But you do it anyway because you need to be, what's your purpose, right? What is the goal? And if the goal is for you to tell the story, if the goal is for you to tell your own story, if the goal is for you to tell your truth, if the goal is for you to not compromise, then you have to do that. You have to do the thing that no one else can, because only you can do that thing. You know, all our voices are unique and different. And once you understand that, right, once you understand that you are, you know, no one is like you, right? No one can be like you. You are your own person. You exist by yourself. There's no one. You can't be a copy. You can't copy someone else. You could try, but you would never succeed, right? When you know that you are your own entity, you are that one person, then the doubt, yeah, it's always going to be there, but it's not so much about, it's not so much about you giving that power. It's about making sure that you just do what you need to do, because you have a story to tell. And I think we all have stories to tell. And I think that's the most important. In addition, I also want to let people know that sometimes it's not even you thinking that, oh, you're not good enough. And I feel like that sometimes happens in the space. It's because sometimes the world is not ready for what you're doing. And you have to, and it takes a time for them to get there, you know. But that doesn't mean you're not doing it, right? You know, just sometimes the world's not ready yet. And that's okay. You know, that's what it is.
That's right. It's when you, it doesn't matter if they're ready for you or not, because you're ready. You're ready to handle it all. So, yeah, I really appreciate that. Those words. Let's talk Segoy. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Logic.
So does man.
In Japanese?
Wait, say that again?
So des ne. I agree with you. I said, that is so, isn't it? Yeah, Segoy is it means wow or awesome in Japanese. Yeah, Segoy ne. So just even the basis of why it's in Japanese is I found like when any space that I've entered that is high up in the, you know, in the ivory towers, it's usually white cis heterosexual man or whatever, right? And no matter what space it is, it can even be fucking Barbie. I bet you there's some dude at the top of that. I'm just speculating, right? And the idea of what the Web3 thing was, it was like so, like, I don't know. The word cabal has been being tossed around a lot. And for me, I'm all about, like, not necessarily just calling things NFT this or web, like, because I feel like it was just kind of short-sighted. And so the idea of Segoy was, like, just to add the wow or awesome factor into whatever this tech thing is. So Segoy is created by and I have a Japanese language school community for Black and brown people. So I've been studying Japanese for over 2 years. And my school, a bunch of us from my school are going to Japan next month. Which is dope. So I'm pretty sure we increased the amount of Black people speaking, Black and brown people speaking Japanese by like 1,000% probably in the last 2 years, which is awesome because it's the third largest economy. I'm all about creating access, as I've always had to, you know, find access just so I can want more or better or just to see what a high threat count feel like. Segoy is it was a 3-day conference. We've done it in Chicago and in New York so far. Shout out to my Studio Logic team. It was totally free. It was token gated per NFTs. We had 800 NFTs minted for access. And it was intentionally curated, because if you go to NFT NYC, and I'm definitely going to throw shade, bro, them things are snooze fest. Like, you don't know why you're there. The stage wasn't intentionally curated. It's a pay-to-play system. And the people that are putting these things on are not outside. They don't know who the people are. They don't know how people's personalities mesh. And we had people from the ivory towers to the people that got out the trenches. It was sponsored by CoSensus, the MetaMask CoSensus, not CoinDesk CoSensus. And we were able to raise about 130K. Shout out to the start of the bear market. But it was in Dumbo, Brooklyn, and at the exact same time as NFT NYC. So I didn't even go over there. I didn't go to the Ape Fest or anything. And we had people like Lady Phoenix. We had Ed Balloon performing. We had Waheed Zai. We had so many people. People from Adidas. People from OpenSea. People from MetaMask. It was so great because we created a renaissance effect of people that wouldn't necessarily be in the same rooms or on the same stage because most people don't play in all those pockets. So what it was as we are operating at the intersection of art, culture, and technology, because the only way, in my opinion, that because no one cares about, come on, let's be honest, no one cares about the fucking term Web3, and no one cares. We care because we care, and we think just because everybody got smartphones and we got access to typing zeros and code and zeros and ones on our phone that everybody should want to do. No, it's not scalable. This shit is not scalable. It's just not. It's complicated. Sophisticated people get got, and that's not great. So the only way I believe this thing will go is if you create a space in which people actually want to be a part of, or a product that people actually want, and not have to go through leaps and bounds to get this thing because for the sake of NFTs. So, so Goy was really just to kind of, you know, put a middle finger up to everyone doing these cash grabs. And like, you go to the event, it's just very lackluster and you don't really get a return from it. I will argue that my conference was the most informative. It was the most fun. And it was an art walk. Yes. And it was purely on chain. Like, you had to mint an NFT and you used the NFT to RSVP to the event. You let me know which other Web3 conference has you do that. I'll wait. And at that level. So it was just really like, and again, for me, I think a lot of people try to think like, oh, it needs to have an immediate return on investment in regards to like, what am I going to double this money? No, I got a case study. So when I'm going for VC funding or grant funding, blah, 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 I have shown and proved that I can execute things from start to finish. And that gives me a leg up as I'm navigating this bear market, because while everybody out here trying to sell vaporware, I have a quote unquote sure thing, a proven system that transcends fucking aliens from Uranus that landed on Mars that live under a bridge, and 10,000 of them are running amok. Come get them before it's too late. So Segoia was awesome. It was just an answer to a calling, and OPM, other people's money.
OPM. Oh, I'm going to start using that. I love that. Yeah,
but also just even in this, the basis of it was I wanted to. It was a collaboration with my friends, like Ed Balloon performed, right? And then I had a friend who was a chef who drove his truck from Chicago to New York to sell tacos. He drove from Chicago to New York to sell tacos. And then I had my friends on stages and performing, and it was just it was one for the books. And if you want to see the recap, the video's up there posted. And then also some photos from the event as well.
Are you planning on doing it again?
We did one in Chicago. And then we're working to do one in Tokyo. Tokyo and Los Angeles. But right now I'm working on, I got a couple pots brewing that I got to address first before I do it. The conference thing was more so like a proof of concept. Let me knock it out the park. But I got to do more art things first before I get back into the conference, because that thing is laborious. That is not a simple thing to do.
No, it's definitely not. And I think that's you know, prohibitive, or one of the reasons that we don't see that many true creators build it out on their own. We've seen a couple, but you know, not enough. What are your thoughts, and this one is for, you know, either one of you, Ed or Logic. What are your thoughts on, do we continue to see these IRL conferences? I know that you touched on, you know, people don't really care, But when you bring these real life aspects in which a person can see that it's not just digital, that there's a person behind it, that there's talent behind it, that there's a career behind it, that there's an entire lifestyle and, you know, applications, real life applications, et cetera, behind it. Do these conferences do what they intend to do? Do we continue to see them in the future? One of the interesting things about NFT NYC was that, you know, for the longest they had it every year, right? And then during the bull market, they had it twice a year because they could and people were paying for it. And now they've gone back to a year, right? How funny is that? But last year on the heels of NFT NYC, or I guess, was it this year? No, last year, people were saying, no, we're not showing up. No, we're not doing that. We're building our own, you know, and I mean, obviously, Logic, you did, other people did. But some people still went to NFT NYC and maybe they continue to go next year. So, I mean, are we still that mad about it as a community, or does it continue to get better? Ed, I saw you on Musical.
What to say about this? I think, to be quite honest, when it comes to, if we're going to be really honest about these NFT events, you really have to be honest and say, okay, what are they doing? What is the goal? Who is the audience? What do they want to do when they're doing these events? Is the goal to tap people that are not in the bubble? Is it to expand their project and their audience? Or is it just to do a cash grab or to showcase or just to give utility to the already holders? And, you know, with Segoi, that wasn't that. Like, Segoi was... Nah, this is a dope ass event that we're doing, but we're also, this is legit for the culture. It's hip culture, and I've been saying that because I feel like hip hop culture, because I feel like that is what sometimes the space is missing. I feel like when it comes to, like, you know, conversations or how do we also tap into things that are missing or lacking, music, all those things, they're intertwining that, and that is what Segoi was bringing. Zoetopia, right? Same. When I did my event with Avalanche, which I don't think people know or talk about, and this is also what it is. Like, a lot of these events that we do for the community, and I mean, when we say the community, we're not only talking about us, because we know that this place, it's not sustainable without us being in it. And I mean, when we say us who are not here, so we're like, okay, how do we get our people in here? How do we get this? How do we expand this bubble? And so we would do events that are not only solely for us, but are solely for, like, our community, because we know they need to be here. And we're very intentional about that. So when it comes to, like, well, NFT events, you know, NFT NYC or whatever, if they're going to, you know, are they willing to continue want to do what they're doing? I'm sure they will be. Is it going to have an impact? Possibly not. But we already knew that from the first NFT NYC. We already saw, once we went, we're like, okay, we already know what the angle is here. And very few people care about or care about finding ways to have a universal impact. Right? And so to answer your question, yeah, I don't know if many projects will care. Maybe they have to now because it's a bear market and they're seeing that, oh, maybe, you know, what they should have always done is trying to find ways to, like, you know, expand their audience. But I don't know. I also think when it comes to certain things, we, as Logic said, a lot of us care a lot about short-term gain versus long-term and consistency. And you're only going to get that, you know, long-term gain if you have consistency. And I feel like a lot of people just say, oh, if it's not there, you know, right after, then they just stop doing it, which is terrible. You know, you don't have culture in a day. You have to build that. Hip hop didn't just happen in a day. It was built. You know, a lot of these things, sneaker culture wasn't just built in a day. It was built. All these things were built. But when you have people just going, when they're, like, at the ends of things and they're just, you know, giving it, they're not able to really see, like, oh, how it got there. They don't know the journey. And so when you're at the foundation of things and you have to build from the ground up, you're realizing, like, oh, it doesn't just happen overnight. But that is the patience that you have to learn. And if you're willing to do that, you know, then I think your reward will be, you will get your reward. But I just feel like a lot of times people don't see that. And so, yeah, to answer your question again, I don't really see that being a difference. But I do hope that, you know, people like me, Logic, and others who, if we have the opportunities to continue on to make incredible IRL events, that we can, and that we can, you know, continue on to bring light to that. Because I feel like we, those who, and honestly, I think mostly when it comes to artists, you know, we probably have more of, you know, the right intentions of doing things. And so, yeah, I would want to see that. So I hope that happens, but I'm not too sure of that because, you know, it is the bear market, but I would like to see that more of that because I don't really trust these corporations when it comes to events and them trying to like really bridge the gap.
Oh, we're going to be here to support y'all and make sure that, you know, spread the word and all that stuff. Speaking of the bear market, you know, royalties are gone except for very specific marketplaces. NFT prices are as low as could be. A lot of people are having to go back to 9-to-5s or have just completely given up. A lot of people are like, there is zero reason for musicians or for artists to come into the space if you aren't having royalties or even any big main brands come into the space. If nobody even cares, what's the point of even onboarding anybody right now? What I want to get your general thoughts on that and how you are dealing with this bear market. Are you, and what are you doing to like prepare for hopefully a lot sooner than later, the next bull market? Logic, we can start with you.
Yeah, I think one is it's all relative to the people, the person. Just like IRL, real life, most of us not even selling art or prints in real life. And if you are, most of us aren't getting royalties. So I don't know if that's something to really get upset about. And if your whole business model is set up on royalties, then you're a bad business person. That's just not, no company and nowhere where is their entire thing is set up on royalties. And that just doesn't make sense. So we should get over that one. Dry your tears up. You know what I'm saying? Pull your pants up and keep it moving. And then also the idea of I'll just address the music thing really quickly. I just interviewed the homie TK the Legend the other day on my Twitter Spaces. He just sold 8,000 or 7,000 albums for $15 a piece. And his album before that sold 750. So from I asked him, how did you scale 750 to 7,000? And he sold that 7,000 like, I think I just saw he tweeted, it was like 5 weeks ago. This is the middle of the bear market. My man sold 7,000 albums. So again, that's why I said it's relative to the person. And he's not on necessarily Twitter Spaces grinding it out. So one is just he's tapping into his collector base. He's outside. I met him at Zortopia in Miami. He's collecting emails and he's putting his team together and he's creating a world around it. I think one is this community, Web3. And I think we need to there's a difference between Web3 community and Web3 technology, which people convolute the thing. They're not one and the same. They're two different fucking things. Is like his approach to it was he took care of his product like a baby. He created a world around his thing. He a brother too, which is amazing. He created a world and gave a shit about his product. And for those people who, like what they say, you only need 1,000 true fans, that's a real thing. He did the numbers. I don't think enough of us, we just kind of put the thing out and hope something happens. We don't really plan this shit out. We don't get that the beautiful mind situation. Putting, you know, boxes to and drawing a line to the number and then drawing the number to the cause and effect so you can see what the fuck you're trying to put out. And for him, he was like, he has intentionality behind it. He's like, for every song or every project that I meant, I want to figure out a way to make at least one ETH off of that effort, which is not a bad thing. So what he did was he did 7,000 albums. He did 7 songs on them.
and then he priced those songs individually, and then he made 7 ETH from the project. He made 7 ETH from each drop. And I'm like, that is amazing, because then you sold it out and you did exactly what you wanted to do. You had intention not only on Under the Hood, but also with the art and things you put forth. So I was like, okay, that's awesome. So then that's one thing. So one is just based on the people and how much effort. Most artists suck at marketing. And this space has created a delusion that everyone deserves FaceTime. And that's not true, because in the real world, not everybody gets FaceTime. You get FaceTime by being undeniable. You do things that are cool, that you think are cool, and you put it out into the universe, and you don't care if people give you money or not. And one example is, I have friends that drop shoes and collaboration with the biggest brands. I've partnered with brands and stuff like that. But for art, they go outside and they go to a bus stop. They pull the fucking poster off the bus stop. They take it home. They paint on the poster and they put it back in the bus stop. Where's the return on investment? Why isn't nobody buying my NFTs? They're not asking for this. They're doing things to be artists, to be just to be disruptive. And too often we tweet 3 times and wondering why we're not minting. Like, why no one wants my work? Because make people, like, my thing is, the worst thing is trying to ask for attention. I'm not saying everybody doing this, but just fucking do. And fuck with the 3 people that's fucking with you, and those 3 people gonna tell 2 other people. I'm a strong advocate for that. And so that's one thing. That's one thing. Usually it reflects the person. Also, when I said Web3, there's a difference between Web3 culture and Web3 technology, and they're not one and the same, is that we get into echo chambers in the community, and then the Web3 technology is the one that we should all be taking advantage of. So when we're in this bear market, I never got into this space to try to go punch for punch for art piece to art piece to art piece. That is not, in my opinion, for me, that's not sustainable. I do a lot of art, but I'm not about to be up here just trying to make my entire future off of selling art pieces on chain. The point of us being here, and most of us kind of be curious, look at what people are developing. You have a smartphone in your hand, you got a laptop, you got an iPad, you got something, especially if you're in Twitter Spaces and you're minting shit. You got something. So the point is to understand what is the fundamental reason why this technology is necessary, or why do you want it to be necessary? How can you solve problems with these? Oftentimes we're just looking at it from the surface level versus breaking down why and how we can use this in our benefit. If you're an artist, now you can work with a developer and figure out what cause and effect variables. If this happens and that happens, and if that doesn't happen, then this happens. That's all programming is. That's the only, everything we do on the internet is based on those 3 things, cause and effect. And if you understand that, then you can create dApps, and that's, you create things in which you can start to, all these things we're looking at, blur.io, this friend tech thing, that is what I'm talking about. Like, a lot of us, I know you need resources, but also grant money exists. Grant money exists. If you can put your noggin, again, this is when you get the beautiful mind situation and the Rain Man, start putting stuff on the walls and figuring out what is something that you lacking, and then try to fix it. And chances are other people are going to have that issue or make something better or blah, blah, blah. And when we can't look at the bear market and be like, oh my God, I got to wait to the bull market. You have to create something that people need. And if you create something that people need and want, then you're agnostic to whatever the ebbs and flows are. This is the thing I'm going to land. And as an artist, if you just picked up a paintbrush for the first time, or a Wacom tablet for the first time or whatever, because of Web3, I'm happy that this did it for you. And if you feel like that you had a moment and you missed it, or you didn't have a moment and you're not getting seen, guess what? Most artists have been doing this shit for a minute and it's okay. Do you love it or not? And if you take a step back outside of this space, most artists, musician, fashion designer, whatever, are not looking at the stock. They're not looking at the Dow 500 and be like, damn, we're down 30 points today. I think I'm gonna stop painting. No one does that. No one stops making beats. No one stops making songs. You think Beyonce or Rihanna or Billie Eilish or whoever your favorite artist is like, damn, crypto down. I guess I shouldn't be making those more songs. That's not how this shit worked, man. Like, and also, again, I'm gonna land this plane here. We're fighting over scraps. There's only a couple hundred thousand people in crypto. And I'm just, and again, these are not real numbers. But in the grander scheme of how many people are on this earth, no one is really using NFT. So we're fighting over scraps. Use this as a tool and also go outside. We're fighting over scraps. Go outside. Get your bread outside. Get your notoriety outside and bring it into the space. There's a spectrum. People outside, do your thing outside, record it, blah, 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 share it on the internet. Then people on the internet resonate with it. Now you got NFTs. Now you got the NFTs to the real life. Dude, it's a world. And I digress.
Wow. Mic drop. You brought up so many good things. Ed, I saw you on mic. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Logic is a hot mess. my Logic is dope. I agree. But I, you know, I do understand. I came in during the bull market, so I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. Oh my goodness, they care about artists. Oh my gosh, this world, oh my goodness. You know, so as someone who has seen the drastic change, I understand. I think for me, I am not only a musician, I also think we should be really honest here. As much of us saying go outside, it's still a hot mess outside. Not saying people aren't creating, but it's a hot mess outside. Like currently I'm working on a short film and Hollywood's on site. You know, I'm just like, wait, what happened? You know, what's going on? And so I think overall, just the whole marketing in general, whether it's crypto or it's, you know, outside of crypto, it is a hot mess. With that being said, as an artist, you know, whether the market was up or down, and either way, like, if people weren't seeing you, you probably won't be getting your bills paid and stuff like that, but you were doing it because, you know, you love what you were doing, right? And so with that being said, like, how do you, you have to be able to, like, figure out or, you know, be honest with yourself. You have to definitely be honest with yourself. I think even though in the space currently right now, it is a bear market. And as you said with TK, he was able to, like, you know, make those sales, which is incredible. You know, I did a drop, which, you know, it wasn't able to sell out the way, you know, it was pretty, people started telling me it was kind of expensive. You know, I don't, you know, it was the value of it, of course, so that's what it is. But it did pretty much a good amount of numbers for this beer, right? And that to me was, you know, a beautiful thing. Say, okay, wow, like I still sold like over 200, you know, and it was on another, you know, and, but those are the things that you probably want to see versus like, I think there's been a lot in this space. And I think as us being in this space for quite some time now, we are learning and we are readjusting, right? The whole sellout thing in a day or two, even if we still see it, it's a beautiful thing. But if you're just able to get people to like your work, because right now we're seeing people are legit buying things based off of, like, if they want it, they're going to buy it, right? And to have someone buy something from you in a bear, that is a beautiful thing. That is, okay, wow, like, I have, this is a real supporter. This isn't someone who's just buying it to only flip. You might have that store or whatever, but, like, you know, like this is a real supporter. And so that also just lets you know, just like, okay, cool, like, this is someone, this might be a super supporter, or, you know, I don't really like saying super fan, but maybe that, right? And that's kind of how you build it. I think, as Logic was saying, we, being in the space and just doing drops and just seeing things, right, and the hype, right, we probably forgot about what we used to do, as in, like, trying to get the emails after every show, right, to make sure that you have that fan, to have that the data for those fans or people that support us. So when you want to, like, let them know about drops or whatever, they can engage with that, and you know, okay, you have this group here, versus just only, you know, having people buy your NFTs and just say, okay, cool, I had a sellout, you know, and not getting that data and those emails that are going that you could use. Again, you know, like, you're legit building your community that way. I still want to also just say, like, those are important. And I think you can still do those, especially now, right? Because I think right now with the bear market, people are legit really having, like, intentional about what they buy. They're intentional about what they support, right? Because it's the money isn't like that anymore. But if they love it, if it's something that's still speaking to them, you can still find them. And that is a beautiful thing. Again, this is still a two, and I think it's always been a two. So don't forget that. With the royalty thing. Oh, sorry. One more thing. With the royalty thing, I still think that's a problem. I still think it's a huge problem. I think one of the reasons why a good amount of us musicians or artists decided to come here was because, okay, cool, this is new tech, and they're trying to like, and the culture was different. Like, I think a lot for the longest time, even though we're used to not having royalties or being fucked over or whatever, it's not a good thing. And so I think us coming to this space was like, okay, wow, this is different. This is cool. The ethos, the culture here is, hey, we want artists to, you know, survive. We want to make sure that they're getting that support. And so when the royalties left and we started seeing all these other things or these scams and stuff like that, you're like, oh, what? I mean, what's going on? And I think we also forget that just because we were here, we also were like trying to figure out how we can get other artists in here, right? Like when I came out here, I was like, okay, how can I get all my other homies out here? Because this is a cool thing. I want them to be able to experience that. And now I don't think I can do that right now because I'm like, I don't know if you want to be here. Like, it's like, because at first I was like, okay, fine. The tech isn't easy, but I mean, the reward is great. You're still able to talk to people. You're able to like have this intimate connection one-on-one. There's no middleman, right? And you're able to like, you know, get these royalties. And I mean, to be quite honest, like, you know, if you're a one-on-one artist, you probably won't see in the royalties like that or whatever, but it was still in the conversation. It was a selling point, right? But to like have that not be there, right? And just that not be a part of the ethos, it does do something. I'm not going to say it doesn't. It does have a bad taste in your mouth. And when it's only about money and stuff like that, that is a bad thing too. So I think that is something I still am upset with because I do think there are things that maybe outside of the space we weren't able to do, like fundraising. Right? I've seen a lot of parties be able to fundraise for things, and not only so much about, you know, when it comes to artists, right? But like I was able to do like a generational wealth fund thing, and it was something about like just being able to like help the community and things like that, and that was something I liked. I don't think everyone was doing that, you know, but that was something I was trying to do, like, to just help the ethos of, like, the space. Overall, it is fucked up, but then again, you still got to move. You still got to, you know, things happen that should not stop you. The bear is here. I think, as Logic said, and as I'm doing, right, you have to find other, there should be alternatives. And it does not only have to be the typical drop 1 month and then, you know, drop the next month or whatever. Just make sure you know, and especially this bit, I think it's giving you time to be really intentional and to think about what you want to do and how you want to do it and how you want to build and how it's going to have sustainability for you, right? And I think that's the most important thing. If anything that I've learned in this bit currently, what is going to give you the sustainability? So when the bear comes again, you don't need to worry so much, right? Like it's something where like, okay, wow, I have my go-to. Right. I think in a bull market, everything was just happening so fast. People weren't even like, it's like, okay, I just do this job. It's fine. You know, I know it. Like, I know, you know, now you really have to be intentional. You really need to know, like, I can hit up my collectors and my supporters because I know them. And that's a good thing. And I want people to be able to, like, to have that data, have that list, have that email list, do all the things necessary for you to be able to sustain yourself. In addition, I don't think everyone is out here to be able to do all these, like, you know, different things. But if you can do, right, like, you know, I and Logic have done events because we like to curate events because, you know, that's just something we like to do. If you can, if that's something that you want to do, sure, try that out. It's not easy, but it's something, you know, it is a way. Grants, Rebecca's in here. She knows so much about grants. And, you know, there are also people in this community that also know about resources, too. So tap in. Happen. I think that's the beautiful thing about this space still, right? That it's small enough, the bubble is small enough where you can still, maybe it's not all about selling the NFT, but it's also about how do we find resources to do something else, right? To do something that's outside of the space, which is possible. And I think that is the beautiful thing, right? Because a lot of times it was very difficult to have those connections. So even networking in this is something. So yeah, I just think we have to, as creatives, we have to get a little bit more creative of just like figuring out how to like move within the bear. But I believe we got this, y'all. It's hard out here. Survive is the motto. We gonna make it. I feel it though. I feel it every day. Every day I feel it. But I understand and I believe. As cheesy as hell, but I do.
I believe it too. I feel it in my bones, feel it heart. Because if you had intentions to balance, then you probably would have already done so, and you wouldn't be here today. So one of the things that I personally, as cheesy as it sounds, but I think that it is true that, you know, you got to pay attention to who is still here. You have to pay attention to who is still supporting, who is still engaging with you, who is still talking, who's actually providing something of substance, whether that be, you know, information. Shout out to Rebecca. Just last week we had her on the show and she provided, like, we went down into the granular, who are her favorite place, you know, what are her favorite places to go out in for grants. So if you haven't already, go back and listen to that one. Some really good information there. Yeah. But like really good, you know, information as to who is here, not just copy pasta on their timeline to get paid from X or Twitter, but who's actually doing shit in the space to move the needle forward is what I would say. So as cheesy as it sounds, that's what I'm paying attention to. You know, so shout out to each and every one of you. You literally could have been anywhere else today and you are here with us. And I very much appreciate that. I want to start wrapping it up by asking both of you, what are you up to now? How can we support you on that venture? Logic, we'll start with you.
I got my hands in a few pots. So I got some pots brewing. And I can't really, it's not called it now, but I've been developing what was formerly called Good and Evil. I've been developing it for over a year now. And it is 1,000 times bigger than what it was. And just iteration after iteration after iteration of just improving it, making it sustainable, making it agnostic to the ebbs and flows of Web3. And I think is where the space is going, essentially. And we use the ATM situation where you just want to, you don't care about what operating system ATM is using, you just want to get your money out. And I think for the average user outside of Web3, they want that type of experience. They want the music, they want the art, they want to have fun, they want to just get straight to it. And just taking that into consideration, that's what my team has been building for the past year. I've learned a lot. That's why I like when you ask that question about, you know, bear and bull market is like, again, not everybody has the same timeline, right? Of what they know and where they are. But for me, it's just if I'm putting my all in it, I want this to be something that I can maybe even, you know, just I feel good about this thing being out on market. Yes, it will have Web3 components. Yes, people who don't need to know won't know, and or need to know. And it's a labor of love. It's never been done before, and I can't really talk too much about it. But the reason I'm just because things take time. Like making dope shit takes time. Making something worthwhile takes time, and whoever that grant person is, slide into my DMs because we are in the middle of doing a grant. So we're exploring VC and grant situations. And then also, I think when we're talking about, you know, just like selling art and things of that nature, I think we just got to kind of just step away from just NFT for NFT's sake situation, in my opinion, and look at what sustains the culture of Bear Bricks or Cause or Supreme or Off-White. Like, why do people want to be a part of these things? Why do people go to Comic-Con, and why does one booth get way more traction than the others? If you start to reverse engineer the ethos behind those projects and the timeline behind those projects and apply it to in everything, education champions. So do research about people that you admire. And you'll get some of those tidbits and notes as to how you apply to your process, and you'll be able to take a step back and we'll look at it from a microwave standpoint, and you'll look at it for longevity reasons. Because if I were to look at the project that I was doing now, which we were going to just put out, in months after I came up with it, that thing would have been here today and gone tomorrow. Which is fine if that's what I wanted, but if I'm gonna put that effort in, you gotta be willing to not reap immediate benefits and just to continue to, like, and I'll end it here. If I don't love it, how am I going to expect other people to like it? So if you got that in mind, take that however you want to. But also there's a line of don't overthink it. So I'm teetering it. So yeah, just support, likes, retweets, those things are free. And I do have a drop coming up where the NFT, they will be wearing a garment, and that garment will actually come with the NFT. So you'll have to claim it. So you buy the NFT and you actually get the piece that's in the NFT. So a little physical, digital situation. So be on the lookout for that. Set some noties. And Belle, thank you for this amazing space and being curious about what Mr. Balloon and I got going on. And thanks for being here. And shout out to y'all in the audience, too, because some of y'all heard me speak about this shit 1,000 times and y'all still show up for your boy. Appreciate y'all for sure.
Those are the real special people that support you. You know, I am curious about everything Web3, and I see how hard you guys have been working on. So it's, don't thank me. It's an honor. I should be thanking you both to have you up here. It's an honor to have you up here. Ed, how about you? What you got going on, and how can we
Nothing. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just did a dope drop called Beauty Supplies Out of Durex. That was on Prohibition. Arbitrum was a gen art, my first gen art coded project. And I will, if you were a collector of that, we are currently working on our website for you to be able to claim your free vinyl that will be given to you for being a collector. In addition, I was just thinking about doing something pretty cool regarding the vinyl. It might be an IRL experience. I don't know. Something I'm thinking about. But in the meantime, I am still working on our short film. We are pretty much close to being done. I'm excited for that. And a little bit of other things. I will also be going to, not too sure if it's final yet, but I might be going to Korea Blockchain week, which will be dope. And if you're going to be there, definitely say hi. And I will also be attending MOFA as well, which also will be dope. I'm going to be doing little things here and there. And but I'm also just really, I would say, I'm thinking of something cool to do that I feel, I don't want to say cool. I hate saying that word when it comes to like what I'm trying to do, but it's more of like intentional, which everything that I do is intentional. But, I'm just, seeing the space, seeing where I am in life and seeing outside and everything and just like, okay, what is making sense at this moment? Just stay tuned, I guess, and continue on to support me again. Thank you all so much for coming through, Belle. Thank you so much for the invite, allowing me to share the stage with you and the legendary Logic. I could never. but thank you so much all. And for y'all coming out here and supporting us and being here and listening to our stories and, I don't know, supporting us day in and day out during the beer. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. Keep going.
Absolutely. Keep going. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. If this is your first time, again, this is If You Know, You Know show. I am your host, Belle. Every single Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have some dope ass people with some dope ass comments and some dope ass help just to, you know, get you, whether you're a newbie in the space or whether you've been here all along, we want to hear from you. We want to have these camaraderie with you. So make sure that you have gone up to the pinned tweet up on top where I put on the POAPs for today. Just a quick reminder, or in case you missed it earlier in the show, we partnered with Tao. which is an ecosystem that I truly believe in, that has all of the vision of Web3 and where we are going within the future. And for every 5 POAPs that you collect, representative of every space that we have with a new speaker, you are airdropped, or you have the chance to be airdropped 420 Tau BRC20 tokens. So if you haven't already, go out, research that, and join us every week. Soon we are going to be on our 100th episode, and that's going to be a really good one. We have a lot of artists, a lot of creators coming in and tuning in and joining us on the stage up here. So hit me a DM if you want to be a part of it. I appreciate all of you more than words can express. I'm so happy that you joined us today. I will see you guys next week. So remember, if you didn't know, now you know. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Appreciate y'all. Jamatine. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.